I love that video. I think, can you imagine the feeling of being there and all of the stuff that you thought was lost, and then just to realize what he said was real, that it really happened, that Jesus rose from the dead. When I think about that, I think that had to be the greatest comeback story of all times, right? And I got to tell you, I like comeback stories. I don't know about you, but I love it when especially like in sports, and I don't use sports analogies too often because I know not everybody follows them, but here lately, you probably haven't been able to get away from March Madness because it's like all that's on TV, you know? And so I've watched way too much basketball in the last couple of days, but I love like the team that's the underdog, and you know, you know neither team you really care too much about maybe, but the ones behind, and you just start pulling for them. The other day, Michigan and Kansas, I'm not a Michigan fan, but they were down, you know, Kansas number one, Michigan number four, like a couple minutes left in the game, they're down by like 14 points, and they start climbing back in, and you're just like, uh-oh, you know, can they do it? And with just a couple of seconds, the guy throws up a wild shot, and it goes in, and they tie the game. I mean, all you can do and stuff like that is just laugh. It's so unbelievable when things like that happen. You know, they have a saying in sports. You ever heard this? It ain't over till it's over, right? You ever heard that? You know, sometimes they'll say it ain't over till the fat lady sings, but that's not politically correct anymore, so, you know, we can't say that one. But there's that saying, you know, it ain't over until it's over. In sports, it's that feeling that, man, something could still happen. Don't give up. Don't stop yet, because it's not over. Oh, by the way, my name is Michael. I serve as the pastor here. At Mountain West's case, you know, you're like, who is that guy up there now talking? And I want to say my parents, my grandmother are here today, and I'm so honored that you guys are with us. And my mom brought me my favorite peeps, so she said, this will give you energy through the rest of the day, so you get me before the sugar high service. That'll be the last one, so I may just never stop preaching when I eat those. I don't know. But you know, when you think about this, and you think, these great comebacks, because it's really, you know, we've watched enough of that it's not over until it's over. But there is a moment when it's over, right? Like, I mean, again, the buzzer goes off, zero on the clock, the teams leave the court, the fans are leaving the building. We go, you know, it's over. But even in sports, it's not really over. There's still tomorrow. You know, there's still another season. There may be another game, you know, and it's never really over. But then you think there really is one when it's over. It's over, and that's death. That when somebody, when they're done, when life is gone, it is over. When they breathe their last, that's it. Yeah, and not to talk about that too much today, because so let me lighten it up a little bit. I'd read this joke. It's a funeral joke, so I hope that doesn't offend anybody. But these three guys, they had died in a car accident, so they all go to heaven. And they're there, and they said, hey, you know, they're getting ready to have your funeral. What would you like them to say at your funeral? So the first guy goes, well, I was a doctor, so I'd like them to say nice things. Like, wow, he was a great doctor. He helped a lot of people. You know, we were just amazed at what he did. So, okay, they go to the second guy. Well, what would you like them to say at your funeral? He said, well, I was a teacher and I had a family, so I'd really like them to say, you know, he's a great husband, he was a great dad, he poured his life out into the next generation. They said, okay, that's good. So they go to the last guy. And they said, what would you like them to say at your funeral? And he said, what I'd like to hear them say at my funeral? Look, he's moving. It ain't over. You know, and I'm like, well, that would be kind of nice at my funeral. It could freak everybody out, right? But like, oh my gosh, he's still alive, you know? But this is what's so cool about Easter. It's all about Jesus who conquered the ultimate. It's over. I mean, death is the ultimate. It's over. And Jesus kind of, when everybody else said it was over, God said, it ain't over until I say it's over. It ain't done because I'm not finished. Here's how the Bible says it. Grab your outline there in your bulletin, and we'll work our way through that here in the next couple of minutes. But this is what Jesus says himself, Revelation 1:18. That's what he says. He says, I am he who lives and was dead. Did you know we serve the only God that's ever made that claim? So many people following a dead religion, somebody that's dead and gone. And God says, I ain't dead. You know, I'm alive, and what I teach is living and it's breathing, and that's why it brings life to us. That's why we hold on to this, because this is a God that said, I didn't go anywhere. I am alive. He said, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And then Jesus, like, amens himself. Amen. You know, I don't know if he got fired up at this point. I'm alive forevermore. That's good. Amen. So I thought, I might try that sometime. You know, if y'all get a little quiet on me, I might just amen myself. You know, amen. You know, that's what Jesus talking. I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And here's what I want you to hear. As we talk about this day, we know a lot about this. If you're here on Easter, You know, good chance that you know something about Easter. We come and we celebrate what God has done. We serve a God that is alive, and we say, Jesus, you're so awesome, and you're so incredible, and you're so great, and God, you conquered death, and that is awesome. And we celebrate, and I want to celebrate, but listen, that's not all Easter is about. Easter's not just about gathering to remember an event that took place thousands of years ago. Easter's much more than that. Easter's about us realizing that not only is Christ risen from the dead, but the same power that raised Christ from the dead, the Bible says, can live and dwell inside of us. Here's what I put on your outline. Easter is not just to be remembered, but to be experienced. Here's the way the Bible puts it, Romans 8:11. Look at this. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. The same spirit, the same power that brought Christ back up out of the grave, the Bible says, can live and dwell inside of us and bring life. Even while we're alive, it can bring life to our lives. And if we didn't quite get it, the Apostle Paul says this in Ephesians 1, I also pray that you will be able to understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. What power is that? This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor and at God's right hand in the heavenly realms, this power that's available to work in our lives. And one more, Philippians 3, Paul says, All I want to know Christ, to experience the power of his resurrection. And I want to tell you today, God wants to take every death experience in your life and bring about a resurrection. Because Easter's not just an event to be remembered. Easter was meant to be experienced in our life. For the same power that raised Christ from the dead to live and dwell inside of us and to bring life to our bodies. It's much more than just at the end, you know, hey, we'll all get to go be with God and he'll bring us back to life there with him in heaven. It's this idea that even in the death experiences in our lives, God can bring a resurrection. He can renew us. He can change us. He can bring us back to life. And here's the truth for a lot of us. We've had some death experiences in our life. There's been some things that have gone on, and it just hurts. You know, I shared with you guys, and if you're a regular here, you know, I'm open as I can be in this position. And shared with you a couple weeks ago, we had the funeral of my cousin. He was 3 months younger than I was, and tragic circumstance. You know, as I'm sitting in that funeral, and in what I do way too many funerals. It's, you know, the part that of what I do I like the least because it's just tough. But I'm thinking about this, and I think, you know, oftentimes sitting in those rooms, the person in the casket's not the only dead person in the room. A lot of times when we gather, there's this death that we're experiencing. There's these things that go on. You ever said that, or you ever heard anybody say that? You know, I just feel like I'm dying. I just feel like that part of me just doesn't exist anymore. That part of me is dead. Or maybe people will say it like this. You know, I just feel like emotionally I'm dying. I mean, I used to hurt. Don't even really hurt anymore. I used to cry. I used to have some hope. It just feels like I'm dead. Maybe it's a dream. You know, I used to have this thought, and I hoped, and, you know, I just don't know anymore. You know, Mike, I think it's just over. Some people talk about their marriage. You know, Michael, you just don't know. It's too late. Even God can't. They'll go through their mess and they'll say, even God can't do anything about this in my life. It's over. There's no hope. Heard one person financially, they said, you know, 10 jobs couldn't get me out of the mess I'm in. It's dead. It's part of my life. It's over. Now listen, that makes sense when you think about it like this. Did you know what the Bible says the enemy tries to do to us? The enemy being Satan, the devil, however you want to call him. But the Bible says he's a thief. And look there on your outline. Here's what it says in John 10:10. It says, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. See, he doesn't want to just bring physical death. He wants to bring death into your life where some part of you just begins to die. Where some part of you you've give up on. Where some part of you you're saying, I don't know, just turn out the lights. I mean, it feels like it's over. The Bible says that's his job. And so we'll say that. Sometimes we'll just go, you know what, it's over. But here's the question, is it really? Because God said, it's over. Because here's what Jesus says to finish that verse. He says, but I have come that they may have life. Bringing life in a death situation. Life while we're here on earth. I have come that they may have life and live it to the full. The power of the resurrection, this same power that raised Christ from the dead, can live and dwell inside of you, bringing life in those areas in your life that are dying. Can resurrect those things in your life that you have thought it's long since been over. Because remember, Easter is not just to be remembered. It's to be experienced. For just a moment, I put a couple of things there on your outline. How do we know this is going on in our life? Truth is, you already know, right? I mean, you're going like, yep, I know exactly what you're talking about in my life, in an area that's dead or dying. But I put a couple of things down just so we can know. Maybe we can get ahead of some of these. If you're experiencing this, then that maybe you can relate and say, yeah, there's something in my life. It's not what it should be, not what I want it to be. So I put this down there. When you're experiencing some type of death, here's the first thing. There's an exhaustion. You're just tired. And you get rest, and you're still tired. You're just wiped out. You feel it. Because it's not something externally that can be fixed, because the problem isn't on the outside. It's something going on in the inside, and you just go like, man, I just feel wiped out. I'm exhausted. Here's another symptom. Maybe this is where you are. There's an emptiness. You ever felt that? Just like, you know, you would go, there's just something missing. There's like this hole. There's this void. I just can't wrap my head around this. There's something that's missing. And I got to tell you, with my cousin, the passing of my cousin, and I shared with you guys a couple weeks ago, you know, from all we could tell, he took his own life. And emotionally, it's hard. I'm going, how do you wrap your head around that? And if we allow, the enemy comes in to try to create death in our own emotions and say, maybe there was one more conversation. Maybe you should have. Maybe you could have. And we just kind of get sucked into that, where we feel this void and this emptiness. Here's the last one. We kind of get to this place too. I mean, there's an enslavement. Where maybe you've reached a point in their life and you just feel trapped. You say, I can't get out. I'm stuck. It's over. They've shut it down. The buzzer went off. Everybody went home. Michael, they even turned the lights off in the place. There's nothing I can do. I am stuck. If I got any one message I want to make sure that you get today, I want you to hear this, because I believe God put this in my heart to share with you today. Listen. It is not over. It's not over. It is not finished. Because as long as you're alive, God is not finished. It's not over. That's what we celebrate. We celebrate Easter. And I want us to celebrate what God has done. And that's right. And that's good. And we should do it. But when Easter just becomes an event that we celebrate and we say, you know, you go, God. You're awesome. And yet we never understand the reason behind it. We never understand what God still wants to do in our lives because of Easter, then it just becomes an event we remember and it never impacts us. So what I want you to hear today is, listen, it's not over. The same power that raised Christ from the dead can live and dwell inside. I say, well, how do you know that? Look back at this scripture. It's the same one we started with. It says, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And then he goes on to say this, and I have the keys of Hades and of death. In other words, I think he's saying, I'm the only one that can fix your death experience, because I'm the only one with the set of keys that opens the lock to all that mess. He said, I've got the keys. Only Jesus can unlock your death experience. He's the only one. And here's the deal. Until you know him, until you invite him in, look, try to fix it yourself. You've tried, haven't you? You've already been there. And you know why it doesn't work? Because you don't have the key. And the stuff out there that we're trying to read, we're trying to listen to, and the people in our lives and the world doesn't have the key. Only Jesus has the key. He's the only one that can unlock your death experience. So here's what we're doing. We're launching this new series. I want to just open the door today, and then over the next couple of weeks, this is what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about some of these things in our life and how the power of the resurrection makes an incredible difference in us. As a matter of fact, we're calling it this, the me I want to be. Because here's what I believe. The me you want to be, really deep down, is the me that God created you to be. Yeah, you may not know the right words, but you're like, man, there's things in me, there's things that I've lost that feel like they're dying, there's these death experiences. It's not where I wanted to be. And so I want to talk about the power of the resurrection and how God can lead you where God has created you, what he's created you to be. So we're going to talk about that over the next couple. We kind of do series around here very often so that we can stay with this theme. And listen, here's what we're going to do. We could get to every week, and I could do my best to try to inspire you. Come on, you can do this. But I don't want this to be just a bunch of inspiration. What we need is we need tools. We need something we can hold on to and say, okay, how do I apply that to my life? So we're going to dig into the scriptures, and we're going to find out what God says about some of these areas in our life, and how do we apply them to our lives so that he can bring back to life the things in our lives that are dying, the places where we need a resurrection. And so I invite you, if you're here in the Atlanta area, you don't have a church home, man, come the next couple weeks as much as you can, because I believe, man, that power of the resurrection is going to work in your life, and you're going to see God doing some incredible things in your life. And so today what I want to do is I kind of want to give you a key. When I think about that Jesus has the keys to death, I want to talk about it in that reference. I want to give you a key that this is where it all begins. This is the first thing that we need to get a hold of, because if we don't believe, if we don't have this in our hearts, all the rest is just work. We never get there because we never learn to trust him. And so I want to look at a familiar story in John chapter 11, and you might want to turn there in your Bible. It'll be up on the screen, but we didn't put all of it on the outline because just kind of ran out of outline space, to be honest. So I'm going to read this. It'll be on the screen. You can follow along in your Bible, John chapter 11. Familiar story to a lot of us. Story of Lazarus. So I don't know if you've seen it in a movie, have you heard about it, you know, maybe you've read it in the Bible, and, you know, Jesus' friend Lazarus dies, he goes, he says, you know, move the stone, Lazarus, come forth, and, you know, out walks the dead man, you know, still wrapped in his grave clothes, and, you know, everybody's amazed. I want to look at that story, and I want to pick up a few things there that I think we can learn from today as we talk about the power of the resurrection in our lives. So here we go, this is what it says, John chapter 11. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. So there's this family, this Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus. So close relationship here. These were friends of Jesus. They'd been with him for a while, just to kind of put this into context. So they send word to him, Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. Well, technically, when we think about it, that wasn't right, right? He died. I mean, we read it in the story. And what I put in my notes, technically it's wrong if we use our definition of death. But you see, when you use God's definition for death, he can say it will not end in death. Point being, the way we see death and the way God sees death are two totally different things. What we say is over and what God say is over, sometimes they don't quite line up. Listen, what we even call death, God doesn't even use that word to call it, because to him, it's not death. Amen. There, just amen myself. You know, it's good. I like that, you know? It doesn't even use the word there, because to him, it ain't over until he says it's over. All right, moving on. It says, the sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, stayed where he was 2 more days. Wow. You know, do you ever think, God don't love me that much? You know, truthfully, you ever feel like that? You feel like you're praying and you're going, God, you know, and it feels like God just stays where he is 2 more days. And you're like, God, what's going on? You know, maybe we feel like these guys, because can you imagine, this was their friend. They believed who he was. They knew that just incredible things could happen, and they call him and he doesn't show up. You ever felt like that? I felt like that. You know, God, look, I don't ask you for a lot, and this is a biggie. You know, so God, I just really need you to come through on this, and then it's like he doesn't. We go, God, what's up, God? Yeah, it didn't work. And if you're like me, you know, I kind of want to complain to God, you know, fuss at him a little bit, but then there's like this line that, you know, you're afraid to cross because he might like, bzz, you know, and you're like a spot on the pavement, you know, so you're kind of like, you know, you don't really know what to say. Think about how these ladies felt. They're going through the same emotions we were. God, I prayed. God, I believed. I had all the faith I could. And see where you were. That's what's happening in this. And skip down a few verses. It says, after he had said this, he went on to tell them, he's talking to his disciples, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up. Again, doesn't even use the words we use, right? Because to him, death is not like what we see it. To him, it ain't over. Now listen, I think it's funny because just before this, if you read through the whole thing, I think it's about in verse 8, it talks about back in Bethany, the disciples were threatened, right? If you ever come back here, we're going to stone you and kill you. So they didn't really want to go back in the first place. You know, so then Jesus tells them, our friend Lazarus is asleep. So look at what they do. His disciples, they didn't have a clue, right? They replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better, right? Isn't that what all sick people need? Let him sleep. You know, we don't really want to go back there anyway. And so, you know, if he's sick, let him sleep. This Jesus who had been speaking of his death, or what we call death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So he had to use our language, right? So then he told them plainly, look, I may not call it this, but so that you guys understand, Lazarus is dead. All right, not a term that he would use because it ain't over. And he says he's dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there. Because if I can paraphrase right here, because he says, you know, I'm glad I went there because I'm getting ready to show you guys something. I'm getting ready to teach you a lesson that it ain't over until it's over. It ain't over until I say it's over. He says, so that you may believe, right? But let us go to him. Now, this next part, there's one in every group. And, you know, Thomas gets a bad rap in the Bible a lot. But I commend his faith because, you know, he's thinking, I don't really want to go back there, but if that's what Jesus says, I'll go. But I read this like, I don't know if you remember Eeyore and Winnie the Pooh, but, you know, I mean, look at this next verse. Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of his disciples, oh, great. Let us also go that we may die with him. Right? You know, can you imagine if you got a friend like that, you're like, thanks for shining a light on this whole situation. You know, Debbie Downer, appreciate it, you know, for all the encouragement. So all of this is happening. So they all head back. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, this is important. Okay, and you may have heard about this before, but the reason this is important is because in their culture, they believed that the spirit could hover around the body for a few days. Okay, the medicine wasn't like it was now, so maybe the person wasn't really dead. And so they would say, you know, they're not dead until a couple of days later. So first, you know, maybe the first day they're like, I don't know, he could wake up, you know, let's not wrap him up yet, you know. And second day, they're probably getting a clue, you know, he's not coming around, you know, let's go ahead and prepare. But maybe third day, you know, oh, it's still got one more day, you know, let's go ahead and wrap him up and put him in there because he's starting to smell. But you know, who knows? Maybe fourth day comes and they're like, he's dead. You know, spirit's gone. There is no, isn't that amazing? Jesus waits until it seems like they turn the lights out. Everybody cleared the building over, right? I mean, it was over. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in their loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. And I think that's so amazing because I think, you know, there's a lot of us in here. We operate in both of those ways a lot of times, right? So sometimes there's still something in us and we're like, I don't know, I just got to get to church. And God, could you and would you? And I don't know. And so we go out and we're trying to find him. And a lot of times we're a little more like Mary, right? I ain't even going out. It's dead. It's over. I'm just staying home. I'm just going to stay away. This is what's going on in their lives. And it's so much like us. There on your outline, picking back up, it says, Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus says to her, your brother will rise again. Martha says, I know. He'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Are we ever like that? Where God's trying to teach us something and speak to us, and we're like, oh, I already know. You know, I know what the Bible says. I know what the word, you know, God's trying to share something with you, maybe through somebody else, and we're just like her. God's like, you ain't even got a clue. You don't know. But we're like, you know, I know. I already know all of that. Jesus is wanting to speak something into her and do an incredible miracle. And she's so much like us. It's just because we think it's over. It's even hard to believe and to hear what is going on. I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. And look what Jesus says. And Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Look at what he says, because this is the key, right? Remember, the key to unlock the dead things in our life. Look at what he says. The one who believes, that's the key. That's where it all begins. That's where it all starts, when there's a spark of hope back inside of us, when we say, I don't know. You know, maybe it's not over. Maybe it looks like it's over. Maybe I call it death, but God is just saying right now it's asleep. I don't know. Maybe it's not over. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. Meaning, if you're dying or in the process of dying, or there's just something in you that's dead, it says, if you will believe, I can bring resurrection in that part of your life. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. And then he says it a third time. Do you believe this? Here's what I want you to take home with you today. Easter is not just to be remembered. It is to be experienced. Listen, I'm not telling you how to fix it and what to do and how to get a handle on all of that, and even that you're going to understand it all. I'm just saying, for today, could you just say, God, I want to believe. Lord, I want to believe. God, I need your power of your resurrection to come alive inside of me. I put this down on your outline. Here's the step. Believe that it can happen. You know, whatever that is that's come to your mind and you say, I don't know, and it seemed like that was over, and that dream and that hope and that trust and that relationship and that marriage and the finances and where I am in life, it just seems like it's over, but God, give me the power to believe. And if I could tell you anything today, it's not over until God says it's over. And not only believe that, because he didn't just leave it there. He didn't say, yeah, just believe that God can do something. He says, whoever believes in me. Not just that I can do stuff, but when you put your faith and your trust and your hope and all of the stuff and all of the fear and the doubt and the craziness and the wondering, when you hang that all on me, because he says, I am the resurrection. I am life. I hold the keys. I am the only one that holds the keys that can unlock the dead things in your life. I put this on your outline. Believe in the only one that can make it happen, and that's Jesus. You need a resurrection in your life. You need his power to bring things alive. He conquered physical death. Our God is alive, and he has the key and the power to resurrect things in your life and to set you free. Listen, it's not over. It's not over. Will you bow your heads?